the parable of the talents. I want to raise some questions, and let's see how we answer those questions. What talents do you see in your life? What talents do you see in life? What is unique about you? Everyone is uniquely created, and therefore everyone has uniqueness. What is unique about you? What blessings that you believe God has bestowed upon you? What blessings God has given you? Have you started thinking? If you have answers for these questions, then I have another question for you. What do you do with these blessings? What do you do with your talent, your blessings, your uniqueness? That's the question that we need to answer here. The passage is read before us, so I don't want to go and talk what is written there. I assume that you have heard the parable clearly. So we will try to understand what we can learn from this parable. Before we go, I want to make some observation. This particular parable is spoken or said by our Lord towards the end of his ministry. This parable is found in Matthew. A similar parable of this is also found in Luke, but Luke parable and this parable both are not same. They are different. This is one of the last parables said by our Lord Jesus. If you look at Matthew, there are 5 discourses. This is from the last discourse called Olivet Discourse. Why did Jesus say at this moment? Because he is going to go, and before going, he wanted to give them the important teaching. One of the teaching is to prepare them for his second coming. You know, in both our first 2 readings, we talked about the day of the Lord, to prepare his disciples for the second coming. The second observation that I want to make is, if one person has got more blessings, it doesn't mean that he is already been given salvation. You know, normally that's how we understand salvation. Oh, if I have got many blessings, if I have got wealth beyond my care, then we come to get this impression that, oh, God is blessing me, therefore he has approved me. I don't think that's the way we have to take it. God has given you more, it's all because you are able to handle it. Because of your ability, you have been given more. That doesn't give you any guarantee that you have been already approved by the Lord, or you have been already saved. There's no connection between your prosperity and your salvation. Salvation is through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross and rose again the 3rd day by believing in him. Whether I have, I don't have, I become his child. So let's not connect prosperity with salvation. Okay, with this observation, we will get into this passage. I'm trying to bring 3 lessons from this parable. Let's see how we can learn. Number 1, God is the giver of talents, and he is sovereign in giving. He is sovereign in giving. Bo, when he read from the pulpit, he read saying that 5 bags of gold, 2 bags of gold, and 1 bag of gold. But if you look at the original text, the first servant was given 5 talent, the second servant 2 talent, and The third one was given one talent. Talent is a measure. It's around 60 to 80 kg measure. So if the master is giving talents to his servants, that means he divided his property into three, and he gave five portion to one, two portion to one, and one portion to another person, and he went for a long journey. Now, how to understand this? One talent is equal to 20 years of wage. If your salary is 50,000 euros per year, then the one talent man has got 1 million euros. The five talent person has got 5 million euros. The two talent person got 2 million euros. Lot of money, a lot of money. Talents are given to servants. If you look at here, the original text in Greek, doulos. Doulos means slaves. These were given to slaves. They are not the owners of those talents. They have been entrusted with these talents. They are going to give account of the talents that they have received. They are just slaves. They are servants. They have to give account of what they have received. This is very important. You know, God has bestowed his blessings on us. He has entrusted with many, many things, and we are going to give account of what we have received from him. We are just the stewards, the people who are going to give account of what we have received from him. Time is also God-given resource. Here, the master gave them the talents and went for a long journey. He gave them time. Time is a resource. Time is only available in this world. We are bound by time. That means time is an important resource that we have in our hand. When we enter into eternity, there we are not bound by time. That is timeless. So time is a resource. Someone said, each day we are given 1,440 euros. What he meant is that if you calculate time as money, then every day you have got 1,440 minutes. So that means that much euros you have. Having listened to all that, what is talent then? What is talent? According to this passage, how can I interpret talent is? I would say whatever uniqueness that you have in your life, which could be your talent, the natural gift that you have in you, that could be your talent, and you have been given knowledge, wisdom, that could be your talent. You have been given with people, you are interacting with a kind of people whom others are not able to interact, that could be God-given blessing. And also the opportunities that are there in your lives is also a kind of a talent. Not everyone has got the similar opportunity. I may not be able to sit with some of your friends, and you are able to sit with such friends. All these opportunities can be considered as talents. Now, we need to remember that everyone is given according to his ability or her ability. In other words, we shouldn't be complaining saying that, oh, I have got only one and you have got five. No way we can complain. If you have been given more, then you have to remember this, that the words from Luke chapter 12, verse 48, to whom much is given, much will be required. If you are given more, then you are going to give account of all that you have received. So if you have received more, praise the Lord. But remember that you are going to give account of what you have received. There's no way of complaining that I have got only one, but others have got five. No way of complaining. Count what you have in your hands. 1 million. This is not a small amount. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Then you will know how much you have received. It is not at all good to compare with others. God, in his own sovereignty, has given you whatever you are able to handle. That's how we have to take it. I'm able to handle only this much, and therefore God has given me that much. Somebody said this, I want to read this. I was complaining that I had no shoes till I met a person who had no feet. So let us not worry about what we don't have. Let us worry about what we have. God-given opportunity also differ from people to people, which Jesus himself has said. I want to read from Matthew chapter 11, verse 21. I'll quickly read Matthew chapter 11, verse 21. Woe to you, Gerasim! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. He is talking about the opportunities that are given to the people of Galilee. He says that these things, if have happened in other places, they would have repented. So God, in his sovereignty, give some people some kind of a special privileges, and some people are not having those privileges. But we need to remember that he has given what we can handle. He doesn't give what we cannot handle, but he has given us whatever is necessary for our life on this earth. Now, we move to the next point. Using the talents is important. Using the talent is important. In other words, the people who have received these talents immediately went and started working. Only one person hid it. We'll come to that a little later. Before that, we need to remember this particular master is so good that he is not calling them on a weekly basis, checking on them whether they are doing very well with their talents. They have been entrusted these talents according to their abilities, and time is given. He is not going to bother you until the time he comes back. So there is no check on you. You are given the free hand on the resources that are entrusted to you. How you use it, that is up to you. Because you have got the ability to use it, so it is entrusted to you, and he is not going to check on you on a daily basis. He is going to come one day. Now, these people went immediately and put the talents in use. How to put them in use? That's the question, right? How to put them in use? To answer to that, simply, if I have to say it, remember, you have been given this much. It is all because of your ability. So you should be knowing how to use them. I know that I'm giving you a very simple answer, but you should be knowing how to use it. Peter very beautifully says that. I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. If you have received something, make use of it for others, or make it, you serve others with that gift, with that talent. That's the bottom line from Peter. So whatever you have received, make sure that that is in use, that is in use, that is being used in serving this other. Now, the five talent who has received went on making five more. The two who has received went on making two more. Some kind of a multiplication is there. Five became 10, two became four. Then the question comes to us, is this parable talking about multiplication of our wealth? A good question, isn't it? Is God asking us to multiply? If I have one house, should I buy the second house? If I have 50,000 euros, should I make it 100,000 euros? So these questions come. I really don't know. It could be. Yes, whatever you have, you should be making them for use. But Bible is not talking about accumulation of wealth. You may be multiplying it, but Bible doesn't give you that kind of support, saying that you can go on accumulating. Bible doesn't give that message. Whatever you have, put it in use. Put it in use. I have two or three examples to justify the point that I made just now. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." Don't go on piling up your resources. That's a clear teaching from our Lord Jesus. The second example that I want to bring is people came to John the Baptist and asked what we should do. I'm a policeman, what I should do? I'm a tax collector, what I should do? John the Baptist looked at them and said, if you have two, give one. If you have two pairs of shoes, give one. If you have two dresses, give one. That's how he gave the advice. So whatever you have, we need to be serving for the use of others. Another thing, also very important example, is Jesus taught us, and he said that, give us today our daily bread. Every day's need is what you need to be worrying about. That is already given. Give us today our daily bread. Now let's move on. So if you look at this particular parable, a kind of a formula emerges. The formula is this: God-given resources plus time plus putting it to use is equal to gain. You gain. You see profit. That's how this formula emerges. The other thing is, regarding the person who put the talent in the sand, the formula for him is the same. God-given resources plus time without putting into use is equal to remains the same. So the point here is, whatever you have to put into use. That we have to find out how to put that into use. I remember when I committed my life to come to Lord's ministry, my parents were not so happy about it. And my mother said, how can you be a servant of God? How can you go as a worker, God's worker? And she kept on quoting this Bible verse from Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 10, accursed is the one who is slack in doing the work of God. Cursed is the one who is slack in doing the work of God. You shouldn't be cursed because you may not be able to do the work properly. So don't go there. That's not what we see here. Whatever talent you have, put it in practice. And that will multiply. You know, let's look at how the third man gave a testimony about his master. What did he say about his master? Let me read this. Matthew chapter 25, what he says is that, but he said, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not sow. Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping what you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter the seed." So he gives a kind of a testimony about his master. "You are a harsh man, and you are expecting impossible things to happen. Who can make impossible things happen? Only our Lord. What we need to do is put it in use." In Christian ministry, or in anything that you do, the first step is important. The rest becomes a history. Are you hesitant to take the first step? Faith involves risk. Without risk, there is no faith. Whatever you have, put it. And that's going to make, that is going to be multiplied. Someone said, no risk taken leads to no gain, only loss. If you don't take risk, you are going to lose. That's how my history is. I have been in Christian ministry for some time. I could say that. I'm not saying that I'm a perfect a Christian worker. That's a long, long way to go. But when you get onto the field and do something, God helps you. Impossible things is made possible. Then why this man went and hid it? Why? You know, burying money in the ground is the usual practice of that time. How will you save your money? If you keep it at home, thieves will come and steal it. So you go and you dig a hole and put it in the sand. So he did that. He did that. But why did he do that? I have come up with four reasons very quickly. He is complacent. We read from our first lesson, Zephaniah. Don't be complacent. Okay, I have everything. Why I need to worry? For Christians, there is no retirement. Until we live on this earth, we need to be working. Satisfied with him thoroughly. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to change. I am fine. Complacent. The secondly is the unwillingness to change. Change is inevitable. Change happens without you noticing it. But I'm afraid of change. Is that the reason he hid everything? No, that's not going to help. Thirdly, fear of failure. If I put this, will I get it back? Instead of that, let me save it. No. Your master is a great master. He is the one who created all that is seen and unseen, and he is going to make things possible. You cannot have the fear of failure. And the final one is being lazy. That's what is mentioned here, laziness. Laziness is never accepted in God's kingdom. We have read this particular parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Why the rich man went to hell? The rich man went to hell, one of the reasons is that all 7 days were the feasting days. When did he go and work? That could be one of the reasons. That's not our topic today. Laziness is never accepted in God's kingdom. What is the final point that we make from this parable? Reward and the punishment. First two slaves, the master called them good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. The word good is very important in the Bible. In Hebrew, it is tov, and in Greek, it is agathos. That's the highest form. There is nothing, there is anything beyond that. But in English, we have good, better, best. That's not the way in Hebrew. That's not the way in Greek. That's the highest form. When God created the world, every day he said good. The purpose in which he wanted to build, he wanted to create, he created it, and he is satisfied. Well done. The purpose is achieved. Good. And he is saying to these servants, good. The purpose in which I have given you these resources, you have accomplished it. Good. There's nothing beyond I can expect from you. Good and faithful servant, come and enjoy in the master's, enter into the joy of your master. That's very important. The second thing that I want to see is, which is the key point of this parable, is whoever has will be given more. The one who has got five got furthermore. He earned five more and he was given more. And Jesus said in this context, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have will be taken whatever he has. What does Jesus say here? That's the point. If you keep on putting them in use, you are going to get it more. If you are good in memorizing Bible verses and you keep on memorizing, you will gain, you will memorize more verses. But if you stop doing it, whatever you have gained, that will be gone. If you are good in mathematics, let's put it this way, and if you keep practicing mathematics, and you will become a master in mathematics. That's the policy Jesus is saying. In God's kingdom, keep using it and you will gain more. If you stop using it, whatever you have, that will also be taken away. Enter into the joy of your master when you accomplish this. Now, laziness is punished. Laziness is punished eternally. He is thrown into hell. I want to finish with this story. It's a fictitious story, but let me say this. A story is told about a famous violinist. He was arranged a concert hall where he had to play violin. He stood before a packed audience and he played beautiful music. He finished it and he lifted the bow out of it. Everybody stood up and clapped their hands. They gave a thunderous applause and gave him a standing ovation. He looked at the crowd, not so satisfied. He went in and came back and he played another piece. And this time, again, once he finished, everybody stood and gave him a standing ovation. He was not so satisfied with the response by the people. And he went again, and he came back, and again he gave a masterpiece. At this time, he looked at the crowd, and he was satisfied, and he went out. People came to him and asked, why you did three times? The first one was also is fantastic. Why you had to do three times? He said, while playing the music, I noticed my master was sitting in the gallery. The first two times when you stood and gave me the standing ovation, he was not standing. I was not satisfied. So when the last time when I played, when I looked at him, he also stood and clapped. That's where I knew I have done my job well. Now, if we have not done well so far, let us not be discouraged. We have got some more time to live on this earth. Let us not stop using the talents that God has given us. Let's put them in practice, and I'm sure you will gain more and more. May the Lord help us to use our talents for His glory. God bless us all. Amen.